It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is music by the Central Illinois composer Carlos Carrillo. This is an excerpt of a piece called Four Sacred Motets. Carrillo is an associate professor of music theory and composition at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. This weekend, the Chicago Opera Theater is premiering a new work from Professor Carrillo. It's called Remedios Varios para las Afflicciones del Cuerpo y el Espíritu. In English, that's various remedies for afflictions of the body and spirit. It's set in a colorless world where an ancient medicinal text might hold the key to healing a community in crisis. The opera premieres April 5th at the Athenaeum Center for Thought and Culture in Chicago. Carlos Carrillo joins me now from our studios. Professor Carrillo, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian. A pleasure to be here.
What sparked the initial idea for this opera?
After getting the residency from Chicago Opera Theater to do a new opera, I first have to select a librettist, and that was Stephanie Fleischman. But we didn't have a project yet, basically a topic for the opera. So I was thinking what it will be, what we will do before our meeting to discuss the opera. It happened that there was an exhibit at the Art Institute in Chicago of Remedios Varo, and I went to the exhibition, and as I'm going to the exhibition, the moment I entered the hall, I realized something special was happening there, and there is a previous event to that. I don't know if you remember, in the fall of 2023. The University of West Virginia announced that they were canceling some programs in music and English and other programs. And that was in my mind, and that's important to what happened when I was in the exhibit, because I was thinking about the importance of the arts. I'm a musician and a composer, and I really believe in this and in the importance of all kinds of arts in our lives. So as I'm looking at the exhibit and reading about Remedios Varo, her thinking that music, in particular music, she being a painter, that music can access something beyond what we can see, what we can perceive in this world, and the importance of music in life. So I look at the exhibit, look at the paintings, and imagine that I would like to see that painting on a stage. So interestingly enough, the first trigger for the opera wasn't music or words, but the paintings, the graphic of the image.
Yeah, and since we're on radio, and maybe some of our listeners may not be familiar with Remedios Varo, can you just tell us what do his paintings look like? What sort of, maybe even if you have to, what feelings do they invoke in you?
So she's a surrealist painter from Spain, and she escaped Spain during the Civil War and ended in Mexico, and she basically lived her last years in Mexico. So the painters, the paintings are really surreal. Like, there's these mechanical devices that look completely out of this world and like magical. And some of them are floating. Some of them have many parts that are moving. But in all of them, there's a musical instrument, something, a piano or a flute or an oboe. So something is being played. And things are really floating in the air. There's a lot of treeless landscapes. So you can go to the website and find some of them, but really magical, truly, the imagination is really amazing of the images, and sometimes mysterious. And all of them, I thought about the idea that these painters can be kind of a dream within the story, that I was already thinking about story as I'm walking to the exhibit. So if you look at them, they will look really the really imagination and some mix of mechanical but also magical into the paintings.
Maybe we can come back to the story of the opera in a moment, but I'm curious about your own musical journey. How did you first become interested in classical music, but specifically composition? Because a lot of people play music. Not everyone composes.
That's true. So basically, I am from Puerto Rico, and I started playing music because there was a piano at home that I was my sister's, and I was supposed to play it. But when nobody was in the house, I went and played a little bit and somehow taught myself how to read music. And I grew up in Puerto Rico in the Lutheran church, and that's interesting because it's very rare. But in the church, in the Lutheran church, music is four-part writing, you know, and that became significant for me for many reasons, because I started playing as a kid right after I learned how to play a little bit of piano and read music. I started playing the organ in the church, so I was a church organist for many years. I still are. I'm still playing organ in church, and for some reason, I start playing, but immediately I look at the music, especially the music of Bach, and thinking, and it was kind of crazy, thinking that that was easy, that I would like to do that, and perhaps that was easy. of course, it wasn't easy. but for some reason, I start doing it, and I could do it. I just start creating new pieces for piano and just having a stop. Until today. That was basically that. Perhaps crazy idea that I could do it, and
this is when you're still a young person.
Absolutely. I was older compared to other musicians because I was 12 when I started doing this, but by the time I was 15, I have written, you know, like a symphonic piece, and I was absolutely fascinated by the process, and again, I mentioned that I was fascinated then, but I am fascinated about this still now, like how the page can be empty, and then I spend a lot of time. It's a lot of work, but then suddenly something that wasn't there is there, and it's somehow, you know, it's funny because I was talking to one of my teachers, Samuel Adler, about this, and he's in his 90s, and he was talking recently. He was here visiting, saying that still for him it's also a mystery. Like we somehow see an empty page and put sound, and then it's there, and then it's. He mentioned, it's for me too, hard to explain how do we get there. Like basically, it's just something triggering the mind and then music appear, and it's wonderful. I really can't, we don't do anything else. It's really, really magical thing to do.
It is fascinating to think that what starts with a pencil on a piece of paper can then be this wall of sound coming from a stage at some point. Yeah, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Carlos Carrillo, composer of the new opera Remedios Varios para las Afflicciones del Cuerpo y el Espíritu, various remedies for afflictions of the body and spirit. There's a little pun in the name there, I think, because it's inspired by the art of Remedios Varo, and it's Remedios Varios, various remedies. It premieres this weekend with the Chicago Opera Theater. Mm-hmm. Carrillo is also a professor of music theory and composition at the U of I in Urbana. So talk about how you take, there's a famous quote, and I can't remember if it's Frank Zappa, who said, you know, writing about music is like dancing about architecture. So how do you make opera about painting? How does that connect? Yeah.
So prior to this commission from Chicago Opera Theater, I have been working in my music, connecting to other arts. I either painting before also, but poetry and architecture or sculpture. So what it does is trigger something in my imagination. Like I can look at a painting and my interpretation, how I feel about it, and what sounds I can imagine that can trigger. In the case of this project, as I mentioned earlier, I immediately wanted to see those paintings becoming live on a stage. So, like, without having any music or a libretto, for that matter, I was thinking this would be amazing to see that moving, and the paintings, because as I mentioned, she has these mechanical devices, and some of them have wheels. and some of them are like flying in the air. And I was like, that will be a great staging for the director to do that. So so in the case of Remedios Varo, was the image that triggered the possibility of writing music for those images in motion. And then by the time I got to the end of the exhibit, there was a triptych that have a story to it. And once I got there, I look back and say, okay, all the other paintings are dreams within the story, and this triptych is the basic of the story. But it's like the narrative of the triptych become a narrative of the story. And again, it's the idea of how do I put this into music? How do I create the emotion of a painting that describe a bike ride? How do I write music for a bike ride? And then eventually I did it. I write music to that image.
That's amazing. So what are the challenges of opera as opposed to, you know, a choir or a string quartet or something like that?
It takes a long time. And it's incredibly complex because I have to think the music is operating with the words in time, but like myself, I have to think about what the singers are doing physically, because there are things in motion that you have to account for. So it's unbelievable how opera combine every possible device of text, of motion, of staging, and the timing become very complex. So and every single word has to be like measured and calculated. So that really complicating. So when I'm writing for a string quartet, for example, I think about the musicians and what is happening in the music, but I somehow don't account for what they are doing in their bodies, like moving to some degree. But in opera, if I write a word, I have to consider that the singer may be moving across a stage or kneeling down, and then how long that take to do that. If I write something that finished and there is a next scene, how I move from there, from point A to point B. So yeah, the complexity is the multiplicity of things that are happening on the stage and accounting for the music and plus the other things. So yeah, it's fascinating, but it takes time because it's like as I mentioned, every moment has to be accounted for the composer.
Just a few minutes left in our time together. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. So the premiere is this Saturday. I presume you're going to it. What do you do during a premiere? Are you watching from the wings? Are you watching the audience for their reaction? Are you thinking through things you could have done differently? What is that like for you?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Because I will sit in the public and I will be watching. But already this week we have been in rehearsals, and we have the seats probably yesterday, and we have a dress rehearsal on Friday. And so constantly looking for, yeah, what can be fixed, what I have to do, looking what work, what doesn't work. But I was thinking that some things already work, like we're happy with it, with what was happening in the stage. But I will be enjoying the show like anybody else. I will try to, you know, see, you know, what is, you know, interesting about the show and fascinating about it. But at the same time, yeah, I'm working. I'm thinking, okay, I have to change that, move this here, looking forward to the premiere this Saturday.
Yeah. Well, Carlos Carrillo, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations and break a leg. I'll leave it there.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Carlos Carrillo is a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and is the composer of the new opera, Remedios Varios para las Aflicciones del Cuerpo y el Espíritu. It premieres this weekend at the Chicago Opera Theater. We're going to leave you today with another composition of his. This is called Versos for String Quartet. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.